Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the show. Junks live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to cropmetcalf.com. You can join their team today. Joining us right now on the BetQL guest hotline is Tommy Shepard, general manager of the Washington Wizards. He's joining us on the news that Scott Brooks was not retained as the head coach of the Wizards going forward. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good morning to you guys. I appreciate you having me on. Gotta love every time the walk-up music. Got a little Angus Young to start the day. That was good. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, I kind of laughed, Tommy, because our producer played. He played "Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap" on the heels of Scott Brooks getting fired. It's not the best selection by our man Cody Betts. It made me chuckle a little bit, but.
I had to have a laugh at that. That was either very intentional or very ignorant.
I think it was very unintentional, but it was funny, in my opinion.
Talk about that.
Tommy,
talk about that and how difficult that is. Not unique to the NBA. It's in all sports. And it's in real life, too, I suppose, but it doesn't happen as frequently as it does in sports where, you know, you didn't hire Scott, but you've been in the organization for a long time. You know him very well. And then to have to let a guy go, everyone likes him, right? I feel like he's, like, universally liked.
I like him. Hand raised. I like him.
And Tommy Shepard said he did a hell of a job this year.
And you said he was, like, you consider him, like, a dear personal friend. I just don't know how you do those kinds of things. Those conversations are brutal.
They are. It tears your heart out. You know, I went to New Mexico State in college and watched Scotty come in and tear up the Aggies when he was in Irvine and as an anteater. I've watched him help bring him to Denver as an assistant coach. We hired Scotty there. I was a big part of that piece there and actually left 3 weeks later to come to Washington, D.C. But we kept up over the years. And then when the opportunity arose 5 years ago, I was assistant GM and Scotty was top of our list person that we hired to be the head coach of the Washington Wizards. So I got a dirty secret for you guys in this business. During the season, we spend more time with our players and coaches than we do with our own families. So Scotty's basically an extension of my family. So I was with him pretty much every day, one way or another, for 5 years.
Do you feel?
So, of course, that's very difficult. And he's a very – I said it yesterday. He is – one of the finest, kindest human beings I've ever met. So, of course, that's difficult. But my job is to do the best thing for the Washington Wizards and make informed decisions and really make calculations of how to move forward and how can we go out and achieve sustainable success. And it was just a very tough decision we had to make, especially on the heels of getting back to the playoffs after we went through hell and back. But, you know, I think what's done is done. We look forward to a fantastic future. We've got some great stories to tell here. I think we have some excellent players, excellent resources, great city. They got the sports junkies. I mean, what the hell else can you want?
Tommy, do you feel, just one or two more questions and we'll move on. Did you feel like in these situations, like you're being duplicitous because like he is part of your family, you're having conversations with him every day. You guys are all in on trying to get the team ready. But in the back of your mind, you're thinking, I'm probably going to have to make a move here. I'm probably going to have to make a move here at the end of the season. Like, and then kind of as this process played out, it was initially sort of reported that you guys couldn't come to an agreement on a deal. Did you guys actually discuss an extension, or did you just kind of you know, let things play out, let it marinate in your brain, and then you just kind of made this call?
I think you talk about every single option that's available, you know, and this isn't something I'm sitting next to him on the bus 3 weeks ago going, man, in 3 weeks I'm going to fire this person. Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
You got to live in the moment in the NBA. You have a game to play or a place to travel to every single day. So I'm always where my feet are. And then you get to the end of the season and you really have to take very careful inventory of what did we do well, where are our holes, what can we do better, and how in the world are we going to be able to beat the Sixers? How are we going to be able to beat the Bucks? You know, you got to go right down the line of who's on top of you. Once you get right to the playoffs especially,
right,
that's where it really starts to separate. And the teams behind you, they're coming for your head too. So there's no season. When it ends, it ends. You can't say, okay, great, next season we're going to start out 17-6 because we just finished 17-6. It doesn't happen that way. So many things break your way, good and bad, during a year. Every year is unique, but next year is totally different than this year. And that's really where you got to put your focus on. You always observe the past. You learn from the past, but you can't live there. You got to look forward. And everything is about what are we going to do better and how can we do the very best thing for the Washington Wizards. And that's the job I have, and I share it with a lot of people here. It's not just me, but we come to conclusions every day about what we're supposed to do for that day and for the future, and that's where I'm at.
Joined by Tommy Shepard, general manager of the Washington Wizards. Now, I'm stupid. I know nothing. So I thought the longer that this dragged on after the season was over, that the better chance that Brooks might be retained. Were you ever thinking, you know, I want to do this quickly so I can get the search started, and I don't want to drag this out, but you also want to be methodical and make sure you've got all your bases covered and that you don't want to continue with Brooks. Was there like a give and take with you on that, the decision and how long it took?
No, I think you take extra time, and difficult decisions should never be made overnight. Difficult decisions need every opportunity. Scotty deserved every opportunity to show, hey, this should be our person moving forward or not. And you have long discussions, and you take a lot of it. I love to sit at the table and bring people through and get input and opinions and insights. And I surrounded myself with a lot of wisdom. You know, got a ton of guys that played in the league, guys that won rings, guys that were all-stars, guys that, you know, I got Rod Thorne. Rod Thorne was, he's the one that told Naismith to put the peach basket over the doorway. You know, I got people that are in our inner sanctum that I bounce stuff off of. And of course I have Ted to bounce stuff off of. So, you know, it's not something that you make in a passionate moment at all. You know, it's something that you look at the past to kind of get an idea, but you got to project forward. Where's the NBA going? What do we need to do? And that's my responsibility.
So Tommy, we're just fans, right? So we're stupid. You know 100 times more than we do about hoops. Probably about everything. But, you know, watching this team from afar, we always complain about the defense. We've been doing it for 20 years. And the league's changed, so you can't use the same metrics. I mean, teams are giving up so many points these days, the way, you know, with three-pointers and everything else.
The refs. That's what we all do.
Say again?
Blame the refs. That's what we all do.
Yeah, right. But, you know, I always say, well, we got to bring in a guy. Look at what Thibodeau did. And I always got to bring in a defensive guy. Every coach comes in here and talks about, you know, emphasis on defense, and it just keeps getting worse. But then Drabby brought up a point. He brought up a guy, and, you know, it doesn't matter who, but he brought up a guy, and he goes, this guy, let's just, instead of just going from offense to defense and every year, you know, changing points of emphasis, why don't we just supercharge our offense? Let's just go all in on offense. Are those the kind of thoughts that you have? What can we look for? What are the things that you're looking for in your next coach?
Well, certainly, if you really want to look forward, you do observe the past. And the guy you're speaking of, the one guy you're speaking of was Paul Westhead, right? He went all in.
Mm-hmm.
And Denver, when he was the coach in Denver for a short time, they gave up 102 points and a half one time.
Right.
And so he was right, you know, scoring output was huge, but unfortunately it was the other team that was doing the scoring.
Right.
You can put in, you know, so many people, when Golden State, it's a copycat league, so Golden State was racking them up and they were holding the OB every night, and people said, well, we're going to be like Golden State. Problem is, not everybody has Steph, not everybody has Clay, not everybody had Draymond.
Right.
So you can run the same offense, but without those players, I found it's unique that, you know, shots just don't drop at the same rate as they do when Curry shoots them.
Right.
You know, so you got to be real cognizant what fits your personnel. And you can tweak your personnel and massage it and grow it, and that's what we're trying to do here. But you got to be really honest with yourself. I can't hold a coach accountable to be the very best defensive team in the league if we have a bunch of stumps out there. And same on the offensive end. You know, you got to be able to say, hey, this is what I think this team is capable of. How can we get there together? What's the best system? And you know, I think that's across the board. Everybody in the NBA has the same challenges. And the greatest coaches, all of a sudden a player gets hurt and their team all of a sudden drops a couple games in a row and everybody thinks the guy can't coach anymore. It's a cruel game. It's a fickle game. But at the end of the day, hey, the basketball gods, they have two thumbs up or thumbs down on you some nights, and it just sucks. But at the end of the day, it doesn't change your process and how you got to move forward and give yourself the best chance to win by being very good, proficient at both ends of the floor, being a great communicator. Make sure that you live a clean life because the basketball gods know where the hell you're at and hope for the best. That's really what gets there. This season we predicted in Orlando in the bubble. We said that next year, by the time they get to the finals, it's going to be the last team standing. It's going to be the healthiest team. It's not going to be the best team because people are going to get hurt. This is just – it just lends itself the way the compressed schedule and everything is. And I know the NBA did a fantastic job getting us to this point, and the NBA tried to do everything possible to keep you safe. But physics, physiology, those are undefeated. Just sooner or later, someone's going to break down.
Although, Tommy, the NBA, I think, responded to LeBron and said the injury rate this year – is almost identical to last year.
Yeah, and I can't speak to the statements or anything at all. I just speak to the being in the trenches with the fellas.
Right. I know. No, I understand.
Every night. Yeah. So, to me, you know, there's statements and data, and then there's the reality that people have to go through. And that data that he's speaking of, it probably includes 12 to 14 players. But really, in the NBA, on any given night, we're talking about one or two players, right?
Yes.
Ultimately, they can change the scoreboard.
Sure.
That's really what that comment comes from LeBron. And, you know, he's our Derek Jeter. He speaks for the league. He speaks for the players from a place of power in terms of he knows what he speaks of. And he's one of the guys that really put the NBA on his shoulders, took that torch on when some of the great ones left us. And so I respect his opinion as much as I respect Adams.
Talking to Tommy Shepard, GM of the Washington Wizards. So I want to get to a couple of personnel things. You drafted Denny Avdija, and he showed some flashes. I remember in the preseason, he had the ball in his hands a lot, and then it makes sense to me because you've got Russ and you've got Bradley Beal. They get the ball in their hands a ton. He kind of became a spot-up three-point shooter in my mind, didn't have the ball in his hands much, and I wonder how you see him moving forward. And then I'm a simpleton. I went to a couple of stats. And I look at your team, right, and I look at you 22nd in three-point percentage, 28th in 3 points made. I look at Utah taking 54 three-pointers yesterday out of 80 shots. And you look at where the league's going. Do you see that as the biggest deficiency on this team? You need more three-point snipers.
Well, we need more shots to go in, certainly.
Right.
We don't have we're low in attempts, but I think a lot of that is just the adjustment that had to be made. Bertans came in. He wasn't healthy in training camp. Very rarely do you have a great season when you miss training camp and you get the calf injury. You know, anytime you guys watch sports for a living, you know what I'm talking about, where you have football players, basketball, baseball, whoever misses training camp, what's the first injury they always have? It's either a hammy or a calf. It's a lower body injury. Those soft tissue injuries, they don't just go away overnight. So the rest of the year, you're just managing it. A year ago, Bertans was one of the very best shooters in the NBA. He didn't forget how to shoot. He just came in, fluffy and wasn't ready to play. And that, you know, admittedly, he said that. Hey, I had nowhere to go in Latvia. We were in COVID. The gyms were locked up. Whatever it was, he wasn't ready to play, suffered an injury. Still, at the end of the season, he shot 40% from three. His APM was 97, which is a metric that we track very highly. And so by data, it says he had a good year, but the eyeball test says, hey, he could have done better. But we were 29 and 27 with him. So, you know, with a winning record when he played in games and had a big presence. So the bigger challenge is how do we get him on for the rest of those games? You know, how do we keep him healthy? And the one game that we did get off of Philly, he was huge in the first half. And, of course, he popped his calf and had to leave the game. And, you know, you go fast forward to the next series, and Danny Green, who was kicking our ass in that series, now he pops his calf and he's out. You know, it's such a give and take, but we have good shooting, to answer your question. We need to add more shooters, no question. Bradley Beal, if we can get people to stop triple teaming him, if we can be a little bit more creative in ways to deliver, get him coming off of screens, I think Bradley is a fantastic three-point shooter, but he's an overall, his game is, he's a gifted scorer. Denny can do more for sure, but he's a rookie. Anything you get from a rookie, I'm not going to say you're playing with house money, but it's close. It's a hard game to learn. And very rarely does any rookie come in and run the tables and be successful and be a really meaningful full-time player. You know, Rui was able to make some impact his first year because we were terrible, right? He was able to play minutes, probably was handed minutes because we didn't have anybody to take those minutes. But that's what my job is. We got to create a roster where there's competition for minutes every night. You want to see somebody get better, you get the best work ethic. That's a given, but put some breath on their neck and see what happens. Put somebody that's challenging you for minutes, you're going to work a little bit harder, a little bit smarter, and be a little bit more dedicated. We all are, right? If you guys look at the ratings every time, every month, and you've been kingpins forever, but it's because you got that competition behind you, I think, that keeps pushing you, and that's the same in basketball.
Well, we also got to pay our bills.
Yeah, that's important. That's big.
Hey, who you tell? I got seven kids. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
Seven. Need this job.
So yeah. Wow. What is the timeline?
Hey, the next one better be named.
How do you do a family trip with seven kids? You have to go two cars every time, right?
Will it fly?
Yeah, we buddy up. Yeah, battle buddies. No, we figure it out. They're older. They go from 25 to 9, so it's okay. Not like we're cramming together all the time.
Coach, what is the timeline here? I know you're going to take your time. You're not going to rush into anything. But, I mean, do you have a sort of a rough idea of when you want to get this done?
I think ideally, you know, you identify the candidates, and we're going to go very, very, as I look at the available people that are out there in this world, it can't be confined to NBA coaches or former NBA players. You know, you have a great deal of people in college. You have international people. You got people no one's even thinking about, you know, and we've been forward thinking here for a long time. You go back. We had Christy Tolliver was the first active WNBA player that was an NBA assistant coach. That was with us. The GM for the Capital City Go-Go, Amber Nichols. We're very progressive in our thought process. We want to be very inclusive, and we're going to be very diverse in this search. And that doesn't entail we're going to hire somebody by next Friday. You know, you want to take your time. And I think I'm not trying to be arrogant for the Wizards, but D.C., this city, what we have here, I think we're worth waiting for. You know, if you're interviewing for a couple of jobs, and I know people get hasty and everything gets ramped up, but if you really truly want to be the coach of the Washington Wizards, I think you're willing to go on this journey with us. And that's just the fact. I mean, the available people that are there, there's five teams, now six teams, right? Yesterday was the day Armageddon, apparently, in the NBA, all the crazy stuff that was happening. But the teams that all need people were completely different. Markets were completely different, ownership groups, everything. And I just look at what we have, and I think we're worth waiting for, we're worth going through this process with, because at the end of the day, it's about talent. We have two all-NBA players in our backcourt. We have some young guys. We have some shooting. We can add more pieces. And, you know, I think people can look at what we achieved at the end of the season, and there's a reason to think, hey, you know, there's a great deal of opportunity here. The last place you want to go to, I think, is a place where you say, hey, winning is way, way far in the distance. Not knocking anybody, but, you know, I don't think we're that far off from being a good team, you know, and we got to keep pushing through. But you can't – hope isn't a strategy. We can't hope to go 17-6 again to make the playoffs on the last day of the season. That's very difficult.
Tommy, thanks so much for the time. Best of luck with the coaching search going forward, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Tommy.
What's the walk off music? Can you play Guns for Hire? Or what are you guys gonna play?
What's the last concert you attended?
Oh goodness, I've been forever.
Let's get to know Tommy Shepard.
Pearl Jam. Yeah, could have been Pearl Jam.
Pearl Jam. When you were growing up in New Mexico, what was the band that you were into the most as a kid?
Oh, see, there's a ton of them. I tell you. You're never going to go wrong with AC/DC, just because that does take me back to the, you know, roller skating rink in 1980 kind of crap. But whatever you guys got, man. But I appreciate you having me on.
Of course.
Have a great day.
All right.
Thanks,
thank you, Tommy.
Tommy
appreciate
Shepard,
it.
General Manager of the Washington Wizards. You're going to play him off with some... it's a perfect playoff. I couldn't believe you played Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap. It made me slap
was
the
that
old
a
Navy.
Bit? Was that intentional? No.
No, yeah. Of course it wasn't.
He's just going into the library picking a song.
Hey, you know what? I like Tommy.
I like Tommy a lot.
Rooting for him. I liked Scotty. But, you know, we'll see.
Hey, sometimes you have to move on. Sometimes you have to make a change, EB.
See what they come up with.
Have to take a break. Mike Prada is going to join us at 8:45. We'll talk Scott Brooks.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
And all of the fallout from the NBA yesterday with him at 8:45. If you'd like to weigh in on the Tommy Shepard interview that just went down here on the Junks, you can do that because it's an open line Thursday. 800-636-1067 is the number. And, of course, open line Thursday is a big deal, so it's sponsored.
That's right. Presented by Window Nation. Searching for new windows and doors. Search windownation.com. Their windows are measured to fit the first time. And installed by experts to last, Window Nation for your home, because it's where you live. 800-636-1067. Drab's handing us a story about dad bods.
Haven't we done a million dad
Probably,
bod stories?
Yes. But it's like one of those stories that's evergreen, and it makes you feel good. Because
he's obsessed with dad bod stories.
It's one of those stories that kind of reaffirms that women are okay with dad bods. And it's a new Planet Fitness survey. Think about Planet Fitness. So this is one of those, you know, surveys which is biased. Like, because Planet Fitness is the one that they say that they it's a no judgment zone. I've been a member of Planet Fitness, but like all over the place, like I can't remember the exactly. Like, you're not supposed to be, I forget what they call it, a jarhead or something. The jarhead's military. Jughead, lunk. Yeah, no lunk zone. That's what it is.
What's a
like
lunk?
Guys who come into the gym with those Valdez. Big, like, 2 gallon things of water.
A big muscle meathead guy.
You can't, there's no slamming weights, there's no grunting.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's supposed to be for the dad boss of the world, right. Basically. Right. Although I got to tell you, when I was a member at Planet Fitness, one guy who used to see And, you know, he likes the show, and, mm-hmm. and he knew me a little bit. Was Andre Johnson, remember him? Or is it Trey Johnson?
Trey Johnson. Sure.
Forgotten first name.
He used to play for Washington.
Right, Trey Johnson, the big offensive lineman.
Mammoth offensive
massive
lineman.
Massive guy. Yeah. And I'd see him at Planet Fitness
I think
in
he
Gaithersburg.
Used to teach at Landon. I don't even know if he still does. But anyway. Yeah.
But anyway, it's coming from Planet Fitness, and
We've established, by the way, that Drab's just a big sucker mark for polls. Because
right.
we did a poll a few days ago that claimed that broccoli was the number one most favorite vegetable in the United States. You know who ran the poll? Green Giant.
Of course.
All they're trying to do is sell you broccoli.
Yeah. They sell beans, okay? Yeah. Green beans, too.
Okay, but they're pushing broccoli.
Yes,
on you. It's a broccoli agenda.
Hey, the first line of this article says, Planet Fitness does this poll for Father's Day each year, even though it seems it may hurt their business more than help it.
Well, here's what it says. It says that 7 out of 10 women, nearly 69%, find dad bods attractive. The question is, where is the dad bod? So you've got, like, your fit body. Okay, I would say I've slid into dad bod, but where do you draw the line? Like, where are you beyond dad bod? Like, it's a tweener zone, really. They're saying tweeners are okay. Like, if you're a big heart thing, that's not good.
No,
what is, for an average person, I think an average man's 5'10". Okay, for an average 5'10 dude,
yeah.
Where is the dad bod zone? Like, 180 to 220?
I don't know. You're asking me questions. I don't know the answers.
I tell you, I have a different take than all this. I don't think girls care. If you're funny, if you're charming, if you have money, all those trounce your body. They don't care about your dumb body. If anything matters, you got to have a decent face. So if your face is nubs, that's not great.
Yeah.
You got to have a decent face. And your body doesn't matter. They don't care about your dong. They don't care about your dong shot. They don't care about your belly. They're very forgiving people. I'd say, women really are superior humans. They give birth. They're smart.
They're more connected emotionally
more connected.
To people.
They're
just better people.
They're basically better parents. They do everything. They're not superficial. Guys care about looks, tight bodies, sillies. I mean, you know what I mean?
Sadly, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I shouldn't, but I do.
But girls don't care. They generally don't care.
This says that 80% of women think dad bods are a sign of confidence.
Yeah.
I'm the least confident person in my body in the world.
Yeah.
But... They don't see it that way.
No,
they don't.
You gotta
really...
get out of your own brain, Drab. Your brain's getting in the way.
There's a difference. I'm not saying this directing at Drabby, but I kind of am. Drabby's a little sensitive about like his nipples and his breasts.
Why does that gotta get brought up every day on the show?
And his lips. Because that's what it is. It's not your dad bod. You're a little bit sensitive about your breasts.
All right. Okay, go on.
So that's all. That's a little bit different than a dad bod. When you have gynecomastia.
All right. I don't know about that.
That, I understand that. That's that you should be insecure.
Okay. Cody, you want to play a song to insult Drab like you did with Tommy Shepard?
But like a dad bod, nobody cares.
Okay, but.
Nobody cares.
All right. So let's just work with Drab as dad bod, and I'm going to give Cody not dad bod. Now, he's young, right?
Yeah.
But let's just say they had the same face.
Yeah.
Are women really going to prefer the dad bod versus the fit bod?
No, they'll care about who...
I'm saying, no, all other things being equal.
They don't care at all, really.
I think they do prefer the fit bod.
Look at Cody, young Cody here, spends hours a day at the gym, has no woman to show for.
Right.
Yeah, maybe less time at the gym.
Is that true?
More time.
Hey, Cody, you had no chicks?
Yeah, but he works all the time. He works and gambles all the time. When would he possibly have time... From everything I know about Cody,
he's just trashing him.
I know he doesn't have a girlfriend.
Well, okay, but he's grinding. When would he have time? He's grinding here. He coaches a baseball team, and he's at MGM National Harbor.
I know he's not going to find him at the 1-3 table. Right. I know he's not going to find him there.
Cody, by the way, we should get into Cody a little bit because he's kind of our A1 sub, right?
Yes.
When somebody's out, mm-hmm. we get Cody now.
Yep.
Are you like on all those like Tinders and all that stuff?
I'm not on Tinder. I'm on Hinge.
Is that the cool one?
It's a more respectable one.
Oh, it is.
So okay. It means you're not just trying to chase.
Right. Tinder's for, you know, the nightly Buns. Hookups. Hinge is, you know, for, you know.
When you're like, keeping it classy, Cody.
Yeah, like a nice date and then maybe a second date. Tinder's a first date and you're done.
Really?
Yeah.
Tinder, you don't date someone from Tinder.
No.
Tinder's just hook up and smash.
Tinder might as well be called horny.
Right.
That's a good marketing plan, yeah.
Right? We should come up with that one. Horny.
Hey, we were horny for Zorny back in the day.
Just horny.
I don't think women want to be on an app called horny.
Well, I mean, probably some. Not. Some, yeah. I don't think, you know. The
guys
ones
would. Guys would go crazy for it.
Yeah. But, all right, so. But
women must not be a priority for you right now at this stage in life. You don't care because your free time is gambling.
In a month? How many dates do you go on in a month? Maybe one?
Right now, I've been seeing a girl for a minute. So we've hung out a few times the past couple weeks.
Uh-huh.
But
how did you meet her? Hinge?
Through Hinge, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool chick?
Yeah, she's all right. School teacher. She's all right.
All right. Oh, that's
a big deal.
He
doesn't want to commit.
So she clearly doesn't listen.
Yeah.
Well, no. I mean, because that was the worst description ever.
If he's dated a girl
three
times.
You're not even going to get a text back now. I mean, your phone is blocked, right? And she just trashed you to all her friends. Yeah. Huh? This is a rookie.
Yeah, that's what AWOD did. Remember when AWOD told Julie Donaldson the dog was cuter than her? Because he doesn't know
Cody,
women.
I got news for you. Everything gets back to him, right? Does she have friends?
No. She's not from here. She just moved here like a year ago. Doesn't have any friends.
She has zero
she's
friends.
Fresh off the bus.
And you don't think she listens to, she's not curious, intrigued by the radio? Have you cashed in on the radio cachet?
I do let people know I am on the radio.
Yes, as you should, of course.
It's a weird, I will say, it seems to be a weird, like, attraction for people.
I have noticed that, yes.
Right? Like, for the opposite sex.
It's
like,
a silly aphrodisiac.
It seems to be. Like, so many guys parlay that into, like, some action.
You're also going to probably attract some damaged females, too.
Tell them how fast you can throw a fastball on your first date?
No, that is not something I bring up.
They don't care about that.
Throw in the mid-80s. I was telling them that we used to go crow hop just to get to 70.
Yeah, I could crow hop 71, 72, but that was it.
Well, Drab thinks he can get 80 off the mound right now.
Wow.
Well, I mean,
he's very, he's very, 5 years
he
ago.
He also entered a pro tennis tournament.
Always think about that. You always remember that.
I would love to see.
Who would do that?
Drab, I don't think. Drab, do you think he could hit 65?
I don't know.
Did you play high school baseball, Drab?
No, I definitely could hit 65. No,
did you play high school baseball?
No, but he just thinks he has a strong arm.
No, in high school, at the fair, I threw 75. And then at the Rockies game a couple of years ago, they had one of those.
Right.
I was out in Denver. Picked up like one of those fan booths.
Right.
I threw 73.
All right, you can't get Haiti then. That's about where you can't.
I've had no lessons.
The lessons? It doesn't matter.
Dude, I told him it's something that you're just born with.
You're going to go to Driveline and get all the lessons.
You're touched by God.
There's no lessons. Guys just have it.
I mean, they might be able to eke out one or two more mile an hour.
Right. I'll tell you.
Plus, you're like 40.
If 36, rolling out of bed, picking up a ball and throwing 73 in my heyday with some lessons, I could have touched 80.
What are you doing? You trying to be the rookie? You trying to be Dennis Quaid in that movie? Is that your bit?
Cody, he won't let this slide. He found out about this a couple weeks ago, and now he's obsessed with it.
I'm telling you, I know what I could throw. With a crow hop, like 71, 72, okay? That's embarrassing. That's as good as I could do. I threw the other day at 50, as hard as I could, into the lacrosse net. And my arm almost fell off. It hurt so bad. And I might have topped 50. Like, it just deteriorates hard.
It goes quick.
It deteriorates fast. So if you think you could still... You can't do anything at your peak now.
But anyway, back to Cody. I really believe, whatever's going on with the new girl that he's hanging out with, it's low on the totem pole. So he works here.
Why do you think this girl...
And he gambles all the time.
All the time.
Why do you think she likes you? You think because you're your body or...
I bring wine when I go over to her house.
So the alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You come bearing gifts.
Yeah.
Right.
But you're like you said, women right now, low. I mean, I'm working on the career, working on the gambling,
right.
Working on baseball.
Are you big on adult content? Like, do you like to carve out a little time every day?
I just don't really have time for it. I mean, I still got classes.
You got low T or something?
He's a busy man.
Yes, low time.
Dude, remember he was taking a freaking exam at 10:30 at night?
Yeah.
I got exams next week.
He actually has a full day of stuff.
How many jobs? So he's got two.
I had exams. I went to college. I got a master's degree. I carved out time.
You didn't have two jobs plus school plus gambling.
He's a degenerate gambler.
No, but I went to school. I mean, I got, you know.
You barely went to school. I mean, two classes a week.
I got a master's degree. I graduated 4 years. Kids took 100 years.
I had one extra semester.
I went to school with you. Okay. We both had similar collegiate careers. I wasn't there with you during graduate school, but it's not like you were grinding 14 hours a day on
school.
That's
my point. I went to school, got a master's. I had time.
But you also weren't grinding in the morning.
No, I had a job.
Plus working at night.
I had a job when I was
this guy's super busy.
Yeah. I think he's got low T.
I think he's super busy.
I think he's got low T.
He's chasing flushes what he's doing.
Since the girl doesn't listen, you think, and this will never get back to her, have you smashed yet?
Yeah, what do you think the wine is for?
He's not A-wine. He's striking out left and right.
Right. Good for you. Good for you.
All right, got to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more NBA with Mike Prada, longtime NBA analyst, next here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
If you're looking to place some wagers, check out BetQL, the app to outsmart Vegas. Powerful analytics for sports betting. Get access to real-time line movement, value bets of the day, and meaningful team trends as well. The BetQL app. Why don't you download it today? Joining us right now on the BetQL guest hotlines, Mike Prada, longtime NBA analyst. He's the host of the Limited Upside podcast. What's up, Mike? Good morning to you.
Good morning to you guys.
We just had Tommy Shepard on, so we won't go through the whole Scott Brooks thing. Let's look forward for a second. Who's a good name or two, in your opinion, that makes sense for him to interview, that might land here in D.C. as the next head coach?
Boy, it's an interesting, tough question. You know, I think it's so hard to know exactly how good a coach is going to be. I mean, you saw in Indiana, just for example, this year, I thought the Nate Bjorken hire made a lot of sense with his pedigree. And it turned out to be terrible. You never really know what happens when you slide up that spot. You know, a lot of it is also a reflection of where the team is. I mean, are they, you know, building around Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal and trying to win now? If that's the case, I think they may want to look for an experienced head coach, you know, a Terry Stotts who just lost his job, Stan Van Gundy, you know, somebody like that. But if they're instead sort of looking a little bit more to the long term, I think there are a lot of really promising assistant coaches around the league. You know, someone like a David Vanderpool, who's spoken very highly of and probably should have gotten the Minnesota job. But also, you know, might be worth looking a little outside the box. Someone like, you know, some names that have gotten buzzed, Dawn Staley, South Carolina. Becky Hammon, someone like that. You know, I think they should be casting a pretty wide net. It just depends on what kind of team do they want to be. A lot of times your coaching search, I think, is a reflection of your organization's goals, and it's sort of unclear what those are for the Wizards right now.
So you're a guy who's big into kind of the analytics and modern NBA. When we had Shepard on, I focused on three-point shooting. To me, I look at the best teams in the league, generally speaking, are the best three-point shooting teams. And this team needs shooters. How do you see it? What does this team need?
Yeah, I think they definitely need shooting. I think they're right near the bottom of the league in three-point makes. This three-center thing they did, yeah, for most of the season was kind of like a cute little throwback thing, but you saw the limitations of that in the playoffs. I think in general they just need wing play. Like,
right.
You look at the teams that are around the league and look at their team, they are just so limited in those wing positions, those long, lanky, they call them the 3-and-D kind of role-playing types. You know, they just don't have many of those on the roster, and that's, I think, where they really need to start. But part of the challenge of the three-point shooting thing is that you can build, you know, get as many three-point shooters as you want. As at the end of the day, you're still playing Russell Westbrook big minutes, and that's not his strength. So at a certain point, you know, a lot of times I think the coach takes a lot of blame or strays for the limitations of your stars. I think you're seeing that in Milwaukee right now, in particular with Giannis and Coach Bud. And that's going to be a challenge for the Wizards no matter what.
Mike, is it silly for us, because we've been doing it on, we've been on the air for 25 years, and I think every year we have a new coach to come in studio, we talk to him, we talk about defense is going to be a point of emphasis, and the defense, you know, the league's changed, so it's obviously crazy now, but, you know, just keep giving up more and more points, you know, and I keep screaming defense, but maybe it's stupid. You know, Drabby said, you know, we should just supercharge the offense. I mean, forget about defense. I mean, there's only one Tom Thibodeau, maybe. I don't know. I don't know what to do. I feel like this team is hopeless. We've had, honestly, if you look at the track record of coaches here in the last 40 years, only one guy's had a winning record, and that was Bernie Bickerstaff, and he was here for like a season and a half. I
saw like some graphic that like the fourth winningest, the Scott Brooks was the seventh winningest coach in Wizards history, and he was kind of like a 400 winning percentage. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, like that. Look, the franchise has been stuck. It's one of the worst franchises in sports historically. I mean, there's no way around it. I mean, I think they're underrated in how futile they've been.
Right.
But as far as like what to focus on, I mean, defense, offense. I think what's happened. I mean, there are two ways to look at what's happened in the NBA right now. One is that there's no defense being played. The other, which is the way I kind of like to think of it, is that we've been doing offense all wrong for 40 years, and now finally we realize, oh, this is the best way to score. And defense really should have been at this level the whole time, but teams were too slow to realize, like, hey, if we spread people out and shoot a lot of threes and make five guys defend twice as much space, it's going to be a lot harder for them to play defense. And they finally have figured out that lesson. And, you know, I think at this stage it's all relative, right? Even a defensive coach is not going to be a defensive coach that you may have visioned from the past. So that doesn't mean that defense in and of itself is not important. It's just all relative now. So to me, I think defense, offense, whatever. I mean, they kind of tried to outscore teams this year, I mean, and with Scott. So I think if you're looking for someone, you want to look for someone that has a balanced approach. I don't think you really want to kind of prioritize one side of the ball more than the other.
Right. Just real quick, what adjustment would you have made in that Sixers series? Because, again, I'm old school. I was claiming, even though we rarely played, I would say, put Bonga in there. Why are we going small? You know, put a guy there at least who's going to defend a little bit. I don't know. I mean, he was limited. I mean, he didn't have anything to choose from. What would you have done? What adjustment would you have made?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that they were toast in that series regardless for that series. I mean, in general, I would say that Bonga's development was a little – I mean, I know he had some offensive struggles, but in general, I would have liked to have seen him get more time over the course of the season. I don't think you can really throw him out there in a series like that, particularly I think when you get to the playoffs, if you can't shoot, I think it's really hard for you to be playing. They pick apart your weaknesses, especially if you're not prepared. But just in general, I do feel like, I mean, whether it was with Bonga or with Troy Brown, I know we got Daniel Gafford, and that was a great pickup.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that Troy Brown's another sort of developmental failure. A lot of times, I think, in some of the incentives line up like this, when you're in the last year of your contract and your guy, Russell Westbrook, is the star, you forget about sort of developing some of those fringe pieces and sort of building like sort of a team where when it comes to the playoffs, you can feel comfortable throwing Bonga in. And I think that has always been something that the Wizards have really struggled with historically. You know, whereas you look at Philly, Wendell Maxey comes in, he's had reps over the course of the season, and he comes in and he does a really good job for them in that series and in the Hawks series. So, you know, some of it is a bit of a coach job security. But by the time, if you're trying to like kind of throw wild cards in by the playoffs, I think you've almost waited too late. You know, the season was when you wanted to develop some of those guys.
Talking to Mike Prada, longtime NBA analyst, host of the Limited Upside podcast. Real quick, only got about a minute left. Who do you like in the finals? And, you know, you talked about this, I saw online, about KD's performance the other night, which was just unbelievable. They're basically running like a pick and roll from midcourt with KD. Crazy, and he's that good.
Yeah, I know that the Nets are shorthanded, but if Durant's going to play at that level, I have trouble saying he's going to beat them. I really thought Milwaukee could do it. They still could do it. Mm-hmm. I like Milwaukee before this series, but sometimes a superstar just breaks the game, and I think that's what KD did in that one. So I like the Nets to advance. In the West, it's tough. I really like Utah, but you know they don't look so good right now.
Right.
Phoenix-Clippers is going to be a hell of a series if that's the series. I think those teams match up very interestingly, even without Kawhi Leonard. So at this point, I kind of think, you know, take the healthiest team. That's Phoenix right now. I mean, as amazing as it sounds.
Mike, thanks for the time. As always, Mike Prada, longtime NBA analyst. He's the host of the Limited Upside podcast. We'll have to have you on again soon. Thanks, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yep.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
Of course. Coming up a bit later on the show at 9:20, we'll be joined by Ryan Zimmerman from the Washington Nationals. But next, EB will entertain us all with his entertainment page next here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.